If I didn't know Elizabeth so well, I'd feel bad for making fun of her this morning, but I know that she could dish it out as well as take it, so I'm a little afraid of what she's going to do to me next. All right. Well, we're going to play a little game, see how well you are well-versed on your pop culture knowledge, on your science fiction knowledge, as a matter of fact. I'm going to tell you an opening line of a famous show or a famous movie, and let's see if you can figure out what line that's from, okay? Here it goes. Here's the first one. Long, long ago. And again, well, I'm not finished yet. This isn't for money or anything. You don't get to call the lifeline or anything, Jessica. All right. I'm the preacher here. Just remember that. Long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. Everybody say it together. All right. Very good. Very good. All right. Next time you don't get to help. Here's the next one. You unlock the door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. All right, everybody, what's it from? You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone. Very good, very good. All right, last one, here we go. I can't do it like him, I'll try. Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. I can't do it as well as him. Their continuing mission, to explore new planets and new civilizations. To boldly go where no one has gone before. All right, everybody now. Very good, Star Trek. Now, what do all these things have in common, other than the fact that you all know what they're from and that they're all science fiction? These are opening lines, right? They invite the participant to go and leave the Earth as we know it and go to some far distant place, right? To another time, to another place, to a new dimension of reality. A whole new place and time. That's pretty cool. Whether it's the world of Star Wars or Star Trek or the Twilight Zone, we are told that there's a whole different reality than what we know. Okay, but those are all just fiction. Here's one that's real. And it functions in very much the same way. Are you ready? Here's another famous line. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I don't have to ask you where you've heard that. You all know what that's from. That's from the Lord's Prayer, right? And these are the lines of a prayer that function very much the same way as the Star Trek, Star Wars, and Twilight Zone lines. Why is that? Because these very first words that we pray from the Lord's Prayer invite us to participate in a whole different reality. To lift us up from the earth into a completely different time and a completely different place. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are saying that we believe that God exists in a completely different reality than we know, or anything else that we experience in our lives. That when we pray to God, we leave our earthly reality and enter a whole heavenly reality that we did not know before. Just like the Twilight Zone. Okay? So, as we have heard that, now we can enter into the text this morning. Now we can enter into John's text from Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. Long, long ago, in a place far, far away, there was a guy named John. John was the beloved disciple. One of the disciples of Jesus, who lived a longer life than any of the other 12 disciples. In fact, he is one of the only disciples not to have died a martyr's death. But the most famous thing that John is known for is the fact that one day he was given privileged audience to one of the most remarkable visions ever given to a human being. He was living one day on a prison camp on the island of Patmos in the Mediterranean. And an angel of the Lord came to him one day and started sharing with him a remarkable vision, an incredible revelation. He invited John to jump into an alternate reality, to leave the earthly realm and to see something he had never seen before. He breathed it, he saw it, he heard it all. It was real. And he recorded his vision for us in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelations. And we heard a part of that this morning, and I want us to kind of jump into that reality ourselves. Can we do that? Can we pretend that we are with John and seeing what he sees for the very first time and pretend that we are living that with him? Because this is what he sees. Imagine, if you will, a beautiful, gorgeous day, and you are looking up into the clouds, and you see the beautiful expanse of the sky. Maybe you can see a star or two. You can see the sun glistening, bright and beautiful. And then you see something you have never seen before. Can you imagine this? You see the Son of Man, Lord Most High, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ Himself, coming down from the clouds right before your very eyes. What an amazing sight. Could you imagine seeing that for the first time? And then turn on your ears for just a minute, because you're about to hear something. This isn't just a feast for your eyes. You're going to hear something powerful, because this man, Jesus Christ, is coming down through the clouds and says something from the sky above to the listening earth below. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." I don't know what that sounds like. I don't know if Jesus bellows this with a thundering roar or if Jesus whispers this with a gentle cry. But it is loud enough for everyone to hear. It is loud enough for you to hear. And it is even loud enough for the people who persecuted Jesus to hear. That's how loud it was. What would you do? If you were to hear this, just like John did, what would you do? I don't know what most of us would do. I probably would start talking about it. I'd probably turn to whoever was next to me and say, "Can you believe what we just saw? This is an incredible thing. This Jesus coming through the clouds." Or maybe some of you would start yelling and shouting and saying, "This is the moment we have been waiting for. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible thing," and start telling everybody about it. If I were to see this sight, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, I'd have lots to say. But I would like for you to think about maybe if you would do this. Maybe you would say nothing at all. Maybe your jaw would drop. Maybe you would be stunned. Maybe this vision would be so powerful that it would be something that would give you a loss for words. Maybe you would say nothing at all. That would be a good response, because there is something about that moment that is too perfect and too holy, and anything that we might say might tarnish it. It would be like throwing our own human dirt of words onto something perfectly bleached and beautiful and sparkling white. If this were to happen, maybe saying anything would be wrong. Now, I'd like to think that this verse in chapter 1, verse 8, teaches us something about prayer. Maybe it teaches us a little bit about how to pray in a new way. Because in prayer, just like John, we enter into a whole new world. We jump from our earthly existence to a way of looking at the world that God sees the world. We jump into the twilight zone of God's grace and God's presence. Sure, we don't actually physically go anywhere, but spiritually, we travel the galaxies, right? We crisscross the horizon of sight and substance. We pass the limits of reason and science, and we wind up smack dab in front of the throne of grace, face to face, eye to eye, with a God who loved us and created us and sustains us every moment. And the question is, when you see God in prayer, what do you do? I'll tell you what this suggests to me. That we do nothing, that we say nothing, that we let our jaws drop, because in the front of the presence of God, maybe silence is a virtue. I'll tell you what most of us do when we pray. It's just habit, really. People like me, especially, I have a problem with talking a lot. I feel like I have to say something about everything. I feel like the entire world is just a big football game and I'm doing running commentary on everything that happens. And that's the way it is when I pray, to be honest. Because when I go to God in prayer, I do all the blabbing. I do all the talking. I say, God, let me tell you about how my life is doing. Let me tell you about some of my needs and my concerns. Let me tell you what I'm thankful for. Let me just talk. And I think we do that because we have learned to do that in our prayers, right? That when we pray, we realize that it's a lot of talking. Prayer, after all, we have learned, is talking to God. It turns out that we kind of do like a Jay Leno monologue in front of God. I don't know why. We're trying to make God laugh. We're trying to make God smile. We're trying to treat God like God is the audience. I would like to think this morning that God's not the audience of our prayers, but a participant in our prayers. And when that happens, we need to not just talk, but we also need to listen. One of the greatest impediments to any Christian in the life of prayer is that we talk too much and don't listen enough, and that we don't have enough silence in our prayers. If it is true, and I believe it is, that prayer lifts us up and into the presence of God, what sense does it make to do all the talking when we have privileged company with the great God Almighty? What would happen? What would happen if you got a call one day in your house and on the other line was the President of the United States saying, "Hey, McGray," terrible Clinton impression, but here we go. "Hey, McGray, I'd like for you to come to the White House." Or, "Hey, whoever, I'd like for you to come to the White House, just you." And so the next morning, you're taken from your house to an airstrip, a private limo comes pick you up, and then a plane comes and flies you from here in Tallahassee to Washington, D.C. And then when you touch down in Washington, a private limo comes and picks you up from the airplane and takes you to the White House. And when you reach the front door of the White House, there is this personal aide to the president who comes and greets you and says, "The president is waiting for you." And you walk through the great hall of the White House into the private room where it's just you and the president all by yourselves. Nothing bad happens in the room. I just want to, let you know. But here you are in a private room with a private conversation with the president of the United States. And what would it be like if all of a sudden you started doing all the talking? "Well, how you doing, Mr. President? Let me tell you about myself and my job and my family and all the things that I've seen in this past week. And let me tell you what's really bothering me about this country. Maybe you could do something about this. And boy, I really like that suit and that tie. And I really like that Hillary person. I think she's a great woman. And, you know, this whole scandal thing, I've gotten past it. But maybe..." And you just start doing all the talking. Does it make any sense to you that that's what you would do? Here you are with the most powerful person in the world, and you do all the talking. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Well, how about if one day you got a call from the great Bobby Bowden, the saint of Tallahassee, and he invites you to come to his place in his home and to have a special one-hour conversation with him where it's just you and him. Would you go to his place and do all the talking? I don't think so. I would like to sit at his feet and hear his stories and to learn his lessons from life and to see if I could learn anything from this great person who has brought so much joy to my life. The most powerful man in Tallahassee. Folks, when we go to God in prayer, we are in the company, the reality of not just the most powerful person in the world, not just the most powerful person in Tallahassee, but the most powerful person in the universe. The one who created you and loves you, and the one in whose presence our jaws drop and our silence is stunned and our words are at a loss. If you pray the Lord's Prayer and say, "Hallowed be thy name," take some time to listen to what that hallowed person has to say to you. We have a problem with silence in our world. We have a problem with silence. I think we try to fill our lives with too much noise. We do too much talking. You could turn on the television and the radio, and that whole media is designed to fill your mind with as much noise as possible. It's tough to drive down the street and hear complete silence. It's tough to be at home and hear nothing at all. And what that means is that when we pray our prayers, we even pray the prayers that we learned as kids, that prayer is talking. God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If you pray these prayers, that's wonderful. Please continue to do them. But I invite you to do a different kind of prayer this week. A prayer where you say nothing at all. A prayer where you say, God, lift me out of my reality of my world and let me just sit in front of you and stand before your presence and then say nothing. Just say nothing. Because it is that kind of silence where God will communicate with you. It is the power and the mystery of the silence where God will whisper to you all that you need to know and hear. Maybe this week, try praying without words. Try to pray not with your mouth, but with your heart. Here's one final story, okay? I think it's a story that I've shared with you before, but it's appropriate this morning. A story about a little boy. I like stories about little boys. I think for the last 3 or 4 weeks, my sermons have ended with stories about little boys. I don't know why. Maybe I'm preaching to myself as much as to you all, but here's a little boy. And he's walking along a shoreline one day. Beautiful expanse of sea to his right, some beautiful hilly mountains to his left. He is just enjoying the moment of walking along a shoreline, and he sees that he is all alone, except for one person, who is sitting off along the shoreline at a far distance. And he sees at a far gaze that he can't tell whether it's a man or a woman. But for some reason, he can tell that that little person, that that person is muttering something. Not loud enough for him to hear, he's several hundred yards away, but that person is definitely saying something. And that little boy, being curious, decides to go find out what that person is saying. And so he starts walking towards that person. And he gets a little closer, and he starts to yell out to that person, would you speak a little louder? I can't hear you. I can't hear you because the roar of the waves and the sound of the rain are just too loud in my ears. You need to speak up because you're saying something to me and I can't hear you. But the woman, turns out, it's a woman, doesn't say anything louder. Just keeps muttering something quietly. So the boy gets a little frustrated and starts to walk a little closer. And pretty soon the boy is no further than from me to Phil in the front row. Says, hey woman, I need to hear what you're saying. I can't hear you. You're speaking too softly. Maybe you've got something important to tell me, but I can't hear. And the woman says nothing louder. Still muttering. Little boy is very angry at this point and decides to get right up in front of that woman's mug. Right there in front of her face, to where they're practically nose to nose. And he's staring deep into her eyes, and finally, as he puts his ear to her mouth, he is finally able to hear what the woman was saying. And this is what the woman says to the boy. The woman says, sometimes God speaks in a whisper so that we might get closer and be silent. Silence is a key to prayer. It is the most unnatural thing that you can do, to be quiet in the midst of a world of noise. But when you are lifted up from the earth to the presence of God, Silence is the only thing that makes sense. It is always necessary. This week, if you find that your prayers are becoming too dull and too staid and too boring, try injecting some silence into your life. Go find a quiet place. Go be quiet in a place free from distraction. Maybe the only sound that you will hear is the sound of your breath, the most precious gift that God has given to you. And talk to God not with your lips, but with your heart, not with words, but with who you are. The model for prayer this week, from our Lord's Prayer and from our name for Jesus, is the prayer of silence. May you be still and know that He is God. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, Amen.